This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
Dave Hescheck with you. It's Overdrive for your Tuesday. You're listening to TSN 1050. You're streaming us on the TSN Go app. Summer is here. Just in time for the start of August. Come on, tell me, Dave. We've got like two and a half more months of good weather. We are owed, brother. We are owed. The islands just reopened.
Oh, my God. The poor islands. Just absolutely decimated by ridiculous amounts of water. It's been a tough year, Scotty. Tough year for golf course owners, island residents, people that live on the lakeshore apparently are having a real tough time. I know friends of mine who live on the shore of the lake where water levels have been at record highs have had all kinds of damage because of it to boats and shorelines and rock walls. It's been ugly, man. And now we get the good weather. How about that?
Just in time for a long weekend coming up. Looking forward to that. I'm going to be off next Monday. Because you remember what we talked about on Victoria Day when we did this show? You always work the stat holidays early in the year, late in the year, because you never know what you're going to get with the weather. But if you're smart, you negotiate so that you get the long weekends in the middle of summer. So we won't be here on Monday, brother. We're being smart about it.
Okay. I like your thinking. I like your thinking a lot. Although, you know, I think a lot of people this time of year are indoors, man. Like, it's
Can you handle the heat?
Yeah.
See, I live for this stuff.
You like it. I like it, but I find people start complaining very shortly. Like, it's amazing to me that we live in this country of ice and sleet and frozen rain. And yet, the minute there's a little bit of humidity in the air and the sun's beating down and it's, you know, anything over seems like 28 or 29 on the Celsius dial. You hear people go, oh, it's hot. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, flip on the AC and don't go outside seems to be the default response to a lot of our brethren and kin here in the Great North. I just don't get it.
Are you an air conditioning guy? See, it has got to be stank ass hot for me to go to the AC. The car's a little different, right? Because that thing can heat up pretty quickly. But it has got to be gross. And gross for a number of days before I will turn the air conditioning on in my condo.
Okay, what is behind that? Is this a budgetary concern?
No. And I got Scottish blood in me, dude.
Okay.
So you know that deep down, I'm a frugal guy. But this has nothing to do with electricity prices or hydro prices or anything like that. This has to do with just that cold, dry, gross air, right? Because I live on the 27th floor of my building. So, like right now, not at home, the balcony door is wide open.
Okay.
Got the screen across, right, so the bugs can't get in. But when I get home later, it'll all be fresh air. The bedroom window is open, the balcony door, so you get a bit of the cross breeze going on. I would much rather have fresh air.
That's fair. So the condo life, like, is that like a hot box in there in the summertime? I can't quite picture it. What are you dealing with?
What do you mean?
If the sun's beating down on your 27th floor window.
Well, you keep the blinds closed.
You keep the blinds closed, and you can actually get away with no AC on a day like this?
I did look at the internal temperature. You tell me if I'm crazy.
Okay.
It was 81 Fahrenheit. So that's 27 Celsius when I left the condo today.
Is that too hot? So is your interior gear like underwear?
Oh, dude.
Period?
I'm not.
You live alone, right?
This is radio.
Yes.
It is about theater of the mind. It's about describing things we've witnessed and talking about things we see, but I don't know if you want the full details.
I don't
want
to know
of Scotty's
how you prance around
summer garb in his condo.
You're right. I don't.
I can tell you this: boxers and probably not much else on a day like today.
So you can get away with 81 if you're just walking around in your gitch.
Yeah.
Shirtless.
Tarp off.
Tarp off as the overdrive lingo goes.
Sun's out. Guns out in the condo. It's kind of a...
Do you ever worry that people are like... Is there a culture of looking into other condos from your condo with telescopes and the like? I've seen this.
Telescopes?
Well, I know people that have telescopes out there. I've got a buddy that lives on the lake shore there, and he's got a telescope allegedly to look out at the lake and at the boats and at the planes. But you can also use that telescope, if you were so deviously minded, to look at other things, such as, you know, the condos of other people.
Well, see, I face south.
Okay.
So, to the south, you got the lake. To the southeast, there is another condo building, which I think is like 40 stories high. So, it's a little taller than mine, maybe by about 10 or 12 stories. And, I mean, at night, I guess if you look across, if people have their lights on, you can see them wandering around. But I don't give a lot of thought to A, looking, or B, being looked at. And like I said, especially with my bedroom, I keep the blinds closed at this time of year because the sun's coming in through the day. Mm-hmm. And then obviously, you know, the sun coming up at 5 o'clock in the morning, if you're sleeping, you don't want the light coming in. So maybe I'm ignorant, maybe I'm naive, but I think I live in a private world. But are you telling me, because now you're giving me a complex here.
I don't know, Scotty.
Am I being watched? Is Big Brother or Big Sister... or Big Weirdo watching me in my gitch, in my condo?
I'm under the impression, Scotty, that we're always being watched. I mean, it's very possible if your blinds are open in a condo on the 27th floor.
No, the blinds are closed in the bedroom.
But what about the other room when you're prancing around?
It's just the
gitch?
It's just the balcony door, and where I sit to watch TV, I'm on an angle such that the other condo can't see in. But if I do get up to go to the kitchen, there may be a little bit of trouble. So there may be is there like a 5-second rule? You know, you drop some food on the ground, 5 seconds, it's safe. If I can get from my recliner to the kitchen, and I can within 5 seconds, nothing's really been seen.
So you're not really. Yeah, I was worried it was more like you were
on screen.
With sort of Florida ceiling windows, and you're just sort of prancing around shirtless.
Just manspreading.
Yes.
For the world to see with my TV off in a corner.
That would
as
concern
I watch it.
Me.
No, I
that
am
would
not.
Concern.
I'm absolutely not manspreading for all to see.
Well, that's good to know.
I can tell you that.
All right. Well, I'm glad for you then. This sounds like a nice setup you got. I'd like, you know, it's. The condo life, and never lived at a condo, but it sounds maintenance-free. It sounds worry-free.
Well,
I'm a homeowner. There's always worries, you know? Is the roof going to leak? Is the basement leaking? You know, what else do we have to do to keep the water out? Because the water is always trying to get in.
See,
condos doesn't seem to be a problem.
I don't have flood insurance as part of my condo insurance package. And I've only got one floor above me. It's a 28-story building, and I live on the 27th floor, and I'm trusting that Joe Q neighbor above me, or Jill Q neighbor above me, isn't going to back his or her toilet up and send a river of you-know-what spiraling down into my condo. That's the only way it could flood, right?
And I'm knocking on wood for you.
And nothing short of Noah and an ark is going to flood my building 27 stories high. Now, that said, I do live on a road, Dave. You were talking about the friends of yours down on Lakeshore who have seen the lake levels rise to the point where it's kind of breaching. If it pours rain, and it does, right? We get some thunderstorms this time of year and all that stuff. If it pours rain on my street inevitably floods a little bit because the sewers can't handle it, right? The city's infrastructure has not been upgraded considerably over the last 60, 80, 100 years, what's going on underneath, right? This, despite the fact that all these condos have gone up and the population as a result of condos going up left, right, and center has grown exponentially. I don't know if the infrastructure, the city's infrastructure can handle the backlog.
Yeah.
When we get these rainfalls. And I'm not talking about the apocalyptic thunderstorms you get once or twice every summer. I'm talking about just a steady day or a steady overnight of rain. And you wake up, you pull out of the driveway, hit the street, and, you know, you're splashing some water with your tires up onto the sidewalk. It's crazy.
Well, we saw, it was a couple summers ago, when we had the guy had to abandon his, what was it, his Ferrari in that Simcoe Street underpass there, you know, the one going down toward Bremner there near the dome. Just like massive lake, no drainage. It's like, how can that happen in a city? And I think they just built that thing. Like, how can that happen in a city of our standards? How can it happen in a city this big, this sophisticated? And yet, as you point out, I guess it happens. But
what area of town do you live in? Do you have to fight the 401, the DVP, the Gardner, any of those?
Well, I'm
to get here or to get to the, well, because the Star, how often are you at One Yonge Street?
Not that often.
You don't have to be there very often? Okay.
No, I live like St. Clair West, so okay. Yeah, I'm fighting it all, man. I've got a kid that plays sports. I'm driving around in the winter to arenas and the summer to all kinds of other events. So, yeah, we put a lot of miles on the little vehicle, and the city's traffic, it's actually a little better in the summer, right? Like, I find it's better in the summer. The winter traffic's tougher. I guess there's enough people out of town in the summer. Rolling out of here yesterday, maybe it was because of that big accident at the 401 earlier in the day.
It was closed at Young, westbound.
It was closed,
wasn't it?
Because the truck was a big fireball, and it was like I got home the fastest I've ever gotten home yesterday. It was like 20 minutes to my place from here up in Scarborough. It was quick, and it was like there was nobody on the roads. Don't know how to explain that. I'm sure today won't be the same, but anyway, long weekend coming up, and let's hope the traffic isn't too bad.
Yeah, the Gardner is crazy because the eastbound Young York Bay ramp has been torn down. So eastbound on the Gardner, you got two options. Once you get onto the elevated part, you get off at Spadina, or you got to wait all the way to Jarvis.
Right.
Or you go all the way east to the Lakeshore DVP split. So the backups now are often to the exhibition grounds because you got the two lanes, and then you got the off-ramp lane to Spadina, and it locks all down. So I got to fight through that to get to work, and then I'm northbound on the DVP, and inevitably you're fighting something there. At the very least, somebody in the passing lane who's doing 10 under, not passing anybody, and then you get to the 401, and there are no promises there. Traffic in this town, dude, this in L.A., two craziest cities I've ever driven. Hands down.
This might be worse. I mean, I've spent quite a bit of time in L.A. and not enough to know.
Just that L.A.'s so spread out.
There's pockets where it gets really ugly. You know, Freddie Anderson, funny, you know, Leafs goalie Freddie Anderson, who came from Anaheim to here, was talking about how, you know, he had to put up with some serious traffic because he lived out in a beach in L.A., Newport Beach, and came to the Honda Center. Should be like a 15-minute drive. If there's no traffic, it's like a 45 to an hour drive when there is traffic. So he'd always give himself that time. But he was saying to me, or you know, earlier in the Leafs season, that he felt like Toronto in some ways was rivaling L.A. You know, in some of the downtown interior core traffic, especially with all the one ways, which kind of confuse people if you're not from around here. The no turn on, you can't turn left here from 4 to 6, you can't turn right here from 5 to 7, whatever it is. For people who aren't from around here, it's kind of overwhelming, and I know Freddie struggled with that. And just being in L.A., at times, I think like the 401 might be worse than you know the 101 or the 405 or whatever the heck the big traffic congestion problems in L.A. are on any given day.
Yeah, they do say the 401's the busiest highway in North America.
Yeah.
Easily. And it would be different for the Leafs players, I suppose the Raptors players as well, than it would be for the Blue Jays. Because you're playing every day at Rogers Center, and if you're living in a condo down around the dome, you're just walking over to the stadium. But for the Leafs, if you're living in City Place, or if you're living along King or Wellington, somewhere down there, you got the ACC in one direction, then you got your practice facility out at Kipling.
Going out west is generally not that bad. Going from downtown to Etobicoke in the morning for practice usually isn't that bad, although I know some guys have blamed traffic for being late now and then. But yeah, this is no picnic, Scotty. It's no picnic of a town that we live in, but we love it.
All right, Ross Atkins, Blue Jays general manager, is going to be along at 5:30. So we're going to relive the trade deadline that was. We're going to get a full-on, buckle up, full-on scouting report on Teoscar Hernandez. The more I'm reading and the more I'm looking up Hernandez, will you look at all the available spots in the outfield for the Blue Jays next year? Hernandez could be a guy who ends up getting some significant reps. I wouldn't be surprised. 24 years old, 850 plus OPS at AAA this year in the Houston system. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets an opportunity out of the gate. So we'll deal with that and so much more with Ross Atkins coming up at 5:30 here on Overdrive. Dirk Hayhurst, TSN Blue Jays analyst, in the 6 o'clock hour. TSN 1050 Sound Wars coming up at about 4:50. So Connor McDavid, he's an Edmonton Oiler, but he's a Toronto area kid. I mean, we'll at the very least always try and remind Edmontonians of that, right? Because it doesn't take much to warm them up. But he's holding this Power Edge Pro Camp in Toronto, and a lot of his buddies and NHLers are attending the tournament, and two of them are Matt Duchene and John Tavares. And as we know, Tavares is now within the window, Dave, where he can negotiate a contract extension with the New York Islanders. He's got 1 year left on his second contract. He becomes an unrestricted free agent next July 1st if he doesn't get an extension done with the Isles. And naturally, he was asked about that at the camp today. Here's what he had to say.
I think I just keep all that internal. We've had great open communication. It's obviously a great place to play. I've really enjoyed my time being an Islander and want that to continue. So, you know, for me, I think mostly I just want to try to focus on being ready for the upcoming season and being at my best and being able to contribute.
All right, Dave. So you know how some pro athletes, some front office personnel will say absolutely nothing, but you kind of have to go back and listen to it because they used a bunch of fancy words and you thought initially they gave you a nugget, but it turns out they didn't. This is as clear as day. I got nothing from that. Do you honestly think that he's a New York Islander come next July 1st? Do you think if he had his druthers, given the arena issue out there and the fact that a lot of guys drive in from Long Island and they have to go up in a hotel on game day and get their pregame naps in, home games are essentially like road games. That's a big thing. Do you think John Tavares is willing to continue to put up with all of that to remain an Islander long term?
Everything I've heard says yes. Everything that you know about John Tavares and the way he's conducted himself and the loyalty he has expressed and really backed up by, you know, signing one contract with these guys, tells you yes, he wants to be back. And yet, you know, they make it tough for you to be loyal. As much as I think this would probably be the easiest guy in the world to have stay loyal, the Islanders are a mess, and that Brooklyn situation was a mess from the beginning because the arena wasn't made for hockey. The ice wasn't fit for the NHL, frankly. Every NHLer that skated on it would tell you. In a league where the ice is not that great anywhere most nights because of the fact that there's multi-use buildings that have NBA floors put on top of them and all kinds of other events, it was the worst. Or in that category of, in that short list of the worst ice in the league. So, yeah, my instinct is to say he's coming back, and yet there is the caveat of if they can't give him a compelling vision of where they're actually going to play and how they're going to run things, it might be difficult for him to sign on the dotted line because I think he might just be afraid that he's going to look silly. Like if he continues to tacitly endorse the embarrassment that is the New York Islanders by signing with them, doesn't demand more. I think, you know, there's as much as he'd love just this whole thing to be done, I'm sure of it. That's the kind of guy he is. He'd love just to be able to say, yes, I'll come back. In good conscience, I don't think he can just yet because of the fact there's so many ifs up in the air with that team.
Well, and I mean, there is no doubt in my mind that there would be a long lineup of suitors for John Tavares if he hits UFA status. And Dave, I mean, we know this. We do this in Toronto all the time. Less so now, because all of a sudden, a lot of longer-term salary concerns regarding the Leafs have cropped up. To me, I look at this, John Tavares is a non-starter in this market. As a player, you'd love to have him. But there's absolutely no way given what Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, and William Nylander are going to command, given what you, I mean, have committed to your goaltender, Freddie Anderson, Morgan Riley, and now Nikita Zaitsev, and there will be more money that needs to be doled out. John Tavares just is not a fit for the Toronto Maple Leafs in terms of their salary structure. And another thing, and you were talking, we were green rooming this before we came on the air, and it kind of came up in the vein of the Steven Stamkos conversation, and what would life look like now for the Toronto Maple Leafs if Stamkos had chosen $10 or $11 million a year to play for the Maple Leafs? It would really complicate things all of a sudden. In that vein, Tavares isn't a kid anymore, which is, I think, crazy to think, because he's only 26 years old right now. He's a 1990 baby, I believe. So here he'll be turning 27 a little bit later on. This guy and his next contract in a league that is skewing extremely young is effectively getting to the point where he's on the wrong side of hockey's middle age.
Oh, without a doubt. As much of a genius on the ice as this guy is, and as much as he's one of my favorite players to watch in the league, I think he has to be, because he's such a gifted guy, such an intelligent hockey player, and such a skilled hockey player. Yeah, 27's getting old these days in this league. And the more to the point, Scotty, it's about what do you have to pay a guy as accomplished as this, who's going into his ninth year, who's put up the points he's put up and accomplished all he's accomplished. You know, you've got to pay him so much that it's just hard to find the value there. If you're a young team that has guys of a similar bent who are 19 and 20, which the Leafs do. So, yeah, there was a time where there was a fit, and there was a time where that conversation about would the Leafs pursue John Tavares as a free agent made sense, but I think that time's passed.
Yeah, and I think part of it, Dave, is the Leafs got good to very good, certainly quicker than we were sold, maybe even quicker than any of us anticipated. We'll pick it up on the other side. I want to revisit the conversation. I think it's fascinating. Where would the Maple Leafs be right now had they signed Steven Stamkos? We'd be panicking. We'd be panicking about what that would mean for at least one, maybe a couple of the younger players that the Maple Leafs are going to have to sign long-term. Dave and I will get to that on the other side. Remember, Ross Atkins, Blue Jays general manager, to join us at 5:30 here on Overdrive. Hayes O'Dog and Noodles are gearing up for the Scotiabank Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer Tournament. That's on September the 23rd at Woodbine Racetrack. It's a Saturday. Visit tsn1050.ca to make a donation on behalf of Team Overdrive. And for every $20, you'll be entered to win roster spots on the team for you and a friend. All proceeds go to the Princess Margaret Cancer Center. Where would the Maple Leafs be had they signed Steven Stamkos? Dave and I talk about that next. Stay with us. Overdrive, TSN 1050 and the TSN Go app. Tom tweets me, Dave. Yes, Scott, I watch you in your condo. LOL. He's got one of those ex-SNLers crushing popcorn in a GIF, just with that creepy look on his face. You've given me a complex, dude.
Well, maybe I'm paranoid, but, you know, like when I stay in hotels, I always worry, like, you know, I better shut the sheer drapes just so people can't see me, because I'm in a city, or in New York, or you're in a big city. You feel like people could be looking in, and then you do hear about the pervs with the telescopes that are always trying to see what people are up to, and you worry that maybe they can somehow see you and bad things could happen. But, you know, I wouldn't worry if I were you, Scotty. You're a strapping lad. You can take care of yourself.
I should just show what you're saying. Out of hell with it. Show it off. No.
Well, yeah, that too. I mean, hey, you got nothing to be embarrassed about. I'm sure you look great with your shirt off, and I'm sure you could handle yourself if some deranged lunatic who happened to be watching you, like Tom,
it's meeting
came
me in
after
the lobby.
You. Exactly. You'd be all right.
Well, you've definitely given me a complex, Dave. I came to work. I was irrational, relatively sane human being, and now I'm going home and I'm going to stop at the grocery store and buy cans upon cans of tuna, bottled water, and I'm going to hole up and never leave my place again.
You could buy some of that, like, that self-adhesive tint that, you know, people put on their car windows, the cheap tint you can buy for your, you know, your Z24 or whatever.
All right. Well, thanks, pal. You've been a good buddy to me today.
Hey, man. You can never be too careful in the urban jungle.
I am learning that in the concrete mess that is my condo development, Del Boca Vista, whatever you call it. Blue Jays GM Ross Atkins, an hour from now, on the other side, as we said we would, where would the Maple Leafs be today had they signed Steven Stamkos? And we know they pursued Steven Stamkos quite heavily. That contract would look real bad, not because Stamkos necessarily underperformed. Obviously, he was hurt for a considerable portion of last year, but just because what it would do to the Maple Leafs salary cap structure and who it might force them to cough up or trade. We'll do a bit of a hypothetical on the other side. We'll get to some other things as well, including our poll question of the day. We want to know here on Overdrive, which is the sport that's the most difficult to tank? If we missed, then tweet us. We're giving you baseball, basketball, football, or hockey. So the NBA, MLB, NFL, or NHL. What's the sport that's the most difficult to orchestrate a tank in? And this is off Roger Goodell's comments the other day saying, I don't think anybody in the NFL, I don't think any of our teams are intentionally tanking. So we'll get into that as well. Hit us up on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. I've retweeted it at my Twitter account at Scotty Mac Thinks. Dave's done the same at D Festchuck. Stay with us. Overdrive, TSN 1050 and the TSN Go app. Geez, Dave, what are we going to do with our time tonight if the Blue Jays and White Sox get washed out? That sport has a crazy way of evening things out, doesn't it?
Isn't it?
Because they had, what, 3 last-inning wins last week? They went 5-2 on the homestand with Oakland and the LA Angels. The final 3 victories of that homestand for the Blue Jays came in their final at-bat. They blew one save. And then they blow a 6-0 lead to what effectively is a Triple-A team, the Chicago White Sox. Last night they lose 7-6. We're now into the dog days with this group, dude. We're past the non-waiver trade deadline. Doesn't mean they won't make any other deals between now and August 31st, but it's going to quiet significantly. And now it's going to be like it was 5, 6, 7, 10, 12, 14 years ago. The final 2-month slog is essentially a death march. The season's over.
Yeah, it turns into wake me up when it's over. It turns into wake me up when they start making some moves in the offseason of consequence, because this season's dead. And what are you really watching baseball for at this point? And I guess that's the point of the idea that they're not going to tank. The idea that they're going to try and contend in 2018, as remote as their chances appear to be, with the oldest roster in baseball, with the Yankees and the Red Sox getting back to being the dueling evil empires of the American League East, with their only real chance at a playoff spot being that last wild card spot. You know, the alternative is misery all year. You know, and if you're going for 101 losses like the Cubs had in Theo Epstein's first year, if you're trying to do what the White Sox have done, which is tank it and rebuild it, that can be painful too, because then you're playing irrelevant baseball, not for 2 months, but for 6 months.
Yeah, and you can't even... A big part of this, Dave, as we know, is what you sell to your fan base in the off season when it's time for people to renew their season ticket packages, full seasons, half seasons, 20-game packs, whatever the case may be. Or if there are potential new clients, new customers who want to buy some sort of season's ticket package, if you can't promise them anything more than 65 to 70 wins in a Major League Baseball season, chances are they're going to take their entertainment dollar and spend it elsewhere.
Yeah.
So it's as much, and Mark Shapiro acknowledged it when I interviewed him 3 weeks ago. I think Ross Atkins has said it. Steve Phillips was sitting here with us yesterday. You do acknowledge that there is a business component that sometimes butts heads with the baseball move you'd rather have made if you could.
Yeah. You're right. But I still think that acknowledging that is one thing, but when you really break that down, Scotty, you're essentially admitting that you're not making the best baseball move, right? When you acknowledge that, yeah, baseball and business sometimes come to a conflict point, and sometimes business supersedes baseball. If you actually acknowledge that publicly, which they sort of appear to be doing through their, you know, through their messengers in the media, aren't you kind of acknowledging that you're not doing the right thing, Scotty? Aren't you kind of acknowledging that you're essentially just selling out? And I know, like, maybe selling out's not the right phrase, but aren't you essentially saying that you're making what you would consider less than optimal baseball decisions in the name of essentially fooling your fans into thinking you're doing something you're not doing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've said it all along, Dave. When you're in the position that we're in, we say what we believe, we write what we believe, we report off of what we know, we offer opinion where it's warranted. I would never come on the radio and take an opposing point of view that I don't believe in just for the sake of it. My view heading into 2018 is that I will never say never, because there has to be a path to possible contention for the Blue Jays next season. And a lot of that will hinge on Sanchez being healthy, Stroman continuing to throw the way that he has this year. He's been very good. Hap, presuming he's a Blue Jay next year and he is under contract, being healthy and returning more to 2016 form than we've seen this year. That's the starting point. But I look around the diamond, and I just don't see it with this team. So if you want to take, I'm not calling Shapiro and Atkins liars. That's not what I'm saying here. But if you want to take the organization's word as the Bible, as for verbatim, that they're going to contend in 2018, that they're going to put together a roster that gives them a shot at the playoffs in 2018, absolutely, feel free to do so. But I can't sit here right now and tell you that path is obvious to me. It's just not clear.
No, it's not clear. It's not clear at all, because even if Josh Donaldson had the great bounce from this subpar year and got back to his level as an MVP candidate, and even if you got that great pitching that you talked about from your three key starters in Sanchez and Stroman and Happ, and even if you were able to round out the starting rotation, you got good stuff from the bullpen, you still got a ton of gaping holes in the positional lineup that have to concern you, that are not going to be easy to fill. You know, like, we're going to be seeing some Teoscar Hernandez out in the outfield. You talked about how he's got a good shot. I'd say he's a no-brainer, because who else do they have in the outfield?
Bautista's gone.
Bautista's going to be gone.
The left field spot has not been addressed properly this year.
No.
And I don't even like the center fielder, because I don't think he can hit.
He's not a world-class hitter.
But he'll be there next year. Kevin Pillar will be.
Yeah. So Teoscar Hernandez, hey. Not only Teoscar Hernandez, but any outfielder that has any sort of legitimate claim to major league status is going to get a look. And then you got the problem at shortstop, which is not an insignificant position in this league. What are you going to do about Troy Tulowitzki, who's in decline and who's making his 20 mil?
And who's not coming off that position.
And is not coming off that position, a la Jose Reyes, which is a very painful thing to watch. We all remember when Jose Reyes would not be disrespected into not playing shortstop anymore, even though he was not playing shortstop very well. What are you going to do at second base with Devin Travis having the injury history he's had? You don't have what you would call a world-class AL East caliber first baseman either. You got an old catcher in Russell Martin who can do some things but is making a lot of money to do them. It doesn't look like an obvious path, as you say. If everything went great, it's back to that era of Blue Jay baseball where we used to stack up about five ifs. If these guys were good, and if they did this, and if they did this.
And it's not just them. It's if the Yankees stink.
And if the Yankees have a down year, then, if, then they might contend. That's where we're back to, right? And so you have to ask yourself, is that realistic? Or is that something of a lie to yourself as a fan and an organization. Is that Leaf-esque? Is that what the Leafs did pre-Shanahan era, year after year after year, in refusing to really burn it down and take it to the studs and get to the bottom and get that number one pick like they did to get Auston Matthews? That's what the Leafs did all those years. I think that's what the Jays are about to do in 2018. And I can't be convinced otherwise with the information that's in front of us thus far.
Right. Yeah. And here's the thing. Baseball is different than hockey because you don't have the salary cap, because you do have teams that can just spend, and they can run roughshod over you if you're not careful. And I suppose what we'll hear from Ross Atkins, if we go down this road with him at 5:30 when he joins us here on Overdrive, is that they do have that next crop of young kids coming up a couple years from now at the earliest,
mm-hmm.
I would say. And so it's about maintaining a window of contention until then. But the problem becomes, if some of those kids down the road don't work out, and you've continued to kick the can down the road, trying to keep this aging group, not maximizing return for some of your highest valued players, you're going to get stuck, and you're going to be in that mushy middle, and you're going to be that 75, 78, 81, 83, 84 win team. You might be a little to the good of 500, you might be a little to the bad of 500, you might have an extreme down year where you win 70 or fewer. The Jays had a couple of those in that 20-year run of relative misery. There are no promises. And I don't know. I mean, we don't know the entire internal dynamic in that front office and some of what they're dealing with above them, and it's easily addictive, 40,000 butts in the seats every night, and a lot of people watching on TV. That leads to ad revenue in a day and age when cable television is struggling and subscribership is if that's a word, is declining.
Yep.
So you just gotta kinda roll with it and hope for the best.
Well, you do, unless you have vision and courage and you make the tough decision, a decision that Theo Epstein made in Chicago a few years back. To say, hey, let's not lose 81 games. Let's lose 101 games. Like, what's the difference, really? I mean, I know there's a difference. I know there's 20 games in there that you're, and the look of a 81-81 team versus a 60-101 team, very different look. You know, you can sort of present one as respectable to a maybe not so educated fan, but it's hard to present the other one as a respectable team, right? But what did it yield when Theo Epstein took that team over and lost 101 and then lost 96? Well, the year after they lost 101, they got the second overall pick. They picked Chris Bryant. The year after they lost 96, they got the fourth overall pick. They picked Kyle Schwarber, two linchpins of the team that goes on to win the World Series in 2016, only a few short years later. Now, that's a fairy tale in a lot of ways. Right. Not going to work out that way for everyone. But it worked out that way for them. It's, you know, tanking has worked out pretty well for the analytic-minded Astros. It seems to be working pretty well for the White Sox, who we just had Gord Ashton here the other day, talking about how the White Sox look like a team that has a prospect pool and a young player pool that will make them very good in a couple of years after some miserable years. So the path is there. It's well-worn. It's a copycat world in pro sports. So we know Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins are aware of the path. They're just being, you know, they're just not taking it. And we have to wonder why.
All right, we got the Sound Wars, TSN 1050 Sound Wars coming up in just a moment. We want you to vote on a couple of polls. Hit me up on Twitter at Scotty Mac Thinks, Dave Festchuk at D Festchuk, and the station's account is at TSN 1050 Radio. Roger Goodell says, not to his knowledge, no NFL teams are tanking. So we're asking you, what's the hardest sport to tank in? Is it football, baseball, basketball, or hockey? And Festchuk gave me a complex off the top of the show. He thinks that condos are full of peeping creeps. You know, people with telescopes spying into the adjacent condo buildings. So I'm asking you, what faith do you have in humanity? This is a poll question. Dave thinks that there are a few voyeuristic creeps living in condos. I'm saying there aren't. What do you think? So far in the early returns, 63% side with you that condos are full of creeps.
Let me clarify. I didn't say they were full of creeps.
There are some creeps.
I said,
if there's one, there may as well be 10,000 where I'm from. Well, I got a complex now, brother.
Hey, man. It only takes one, Scotty. It only takes
one. That's what I say. If there's one, there may as well be 10,000. Ross Atkins, Blue Jays general manager at 5:30. Ray Lewis with a message to Colin Kaepernick. We'll run that for you in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll also get into our hypothetical. Where would the Maple Leafs be with their salary cap situation had they signed Steven Stamkos? That's all ahead right after TSN 1050's Sound Wars, which is next on Overdrive with Scott MacArthur and Dave Festchuk. TSN 1050 and the TSN Go app.
It's time for a TSN 1050 Sound War.
Whoa, what a hit that was!
This is the worst one for sure.
All right, first, the winner from today's Sound Wars battle between Naylor's Leafs prediction and Sam Mitchell ripping Overdrive's 10K. Here's the winner.
Here is Sam Mitchell. How you doing, Sam?
I'm doing good, guys. I'm just sitting here laughing at you fools for out here trying to run a 10K.
Why could you run a 10K?
Like everybody else with common sense, write a check.
Sam, how long do you think it took me to run the 10K?
I thought you would still be running it right now, to be honest with you.
Dude, go to hell, man.
All right, Sam Mitchell ripping Overdrive's 10K, 62% to Dave Naylor's Leafs playoff prediction, coming in at 38%. So Mitchell's soundbite advances. And now the best sound bites are about to go head-to-head once again. And then you get to decide which one survives this TSN 1050 Sound War. It's brought to you by Old Tomorrow's new Lighter Up Light Lager. It's soundbite seed number 8 on your bracket versus seed number 9. Soundbite number 8? Well, if you're going to spell it out, make sure you know how to spell it first. Here's former Jets fullback Tony Richardson butchering the New York Jets draft announcement.
With the 79th pick in the 2017 NFL draft, the New York Jets select our Darius Stewart, receiver, Alabama.
What was that? Did J-E-T-E? Yikes. Now here's soundbite bracket number 9. The Raptors radio broadcast team of Paul Jones and Sherman Hamilton showing off their musical talents.
Jonesy, Grandmaster Melon,
historical people in the building.
Come on, Melly,
it's like a jungle sometimes.
It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
All right, there you go. Go to tsn1050.ca, click on Sound Wars, and vote for your favorite soundbite. Seed number 8, J-E-T-E, Jets, Jets, Jets. Or seed number 9, Sherman Jones, rapping. Voting for this Sound War closes tomorrow morning at 8. Then listen to Naylor and Landsberg in the morning for the results and for the start of a new Sound Wars battle right here on TSN 1050. Sound Wars is brought to you by Old Tomorrow's new Lighter Up Light Lager at select Loblaws grocery stores. There's nothing worse than that, Festchuk. J-E-T-E.
The Jeté.
The Jeté.
The New York Jeté.
Jets, Jets, Jets. All right, coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, Ross Atkins, Blue Jays general manager, will be with us at 5:30. Ray Lewis with a Facebook video message for Colin Kaepernick. And, well, we'll probably relive a couple of our poll questions. Roger Goodell doesn't think anybody's tanking in the NFL, so we're asking you, which sport is the most difficult to tank in? Baseball, basketball, football, or hockey? You can vote on that. And also, Dave thinks a bunch of creeps live in condos. Voyeurs with telescopes. I'm saying there aren't. You tell us, are condos full of creeps? Or do you have faith that they are good people? Vote in that one as well. We'll get you the results. Hour number 2 of Overdrive with Scott MacArthur and Dave Festchuk starts in moments. Stay with us. TSN 1050, the TSN Go app.